Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
When a person goes from being a member of a community in right standing to being labeled as an offender of the will of that community, they have a scar on their character. Because the tag criminal, quote unquote, separates the individual from normal status and imposes many restrictions, the felon feels as though they're still locked up, even though they're not behind bars physically. Despite the latter circumstance, there is hope of being restored to a right standing in one's community, despite having been labeled as a felon. Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful to be back after being on the campaign trail and out of pocket for about a week here now. Thanks to Pastor Ricky Waller for sitting in for us and keeping things afloat. And to all of you that have called in and continue to participate, we appreciate you. Again, this is Reuben Dockery. This is Talk Straight, sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute. And the nature of our podcast is to have national dialogue about issues confronting urban American communities. And what we strive to do is to hear from you, and we document your thought and your idea, and we are able to then best address some of the issues facing the subgroup of African American males across urban America. And, in fact, we're finding more and more there are other individuals who are challenged socially as well. But, again, the number for you to call here is 657-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. Of course, you can simply post your question or comment via Facebook if you're following us on live stream. All right? And we're grateful, again, that you're following us. And I believe we have Pastor Waller here with us. We'll get to him in just a minute. And what we'll do is we'll begin with our brief monologue, and then we'll open up our conversation. Our topic tonight, how to rehabilitate a felon's mind. How to rehabilitate a felon's mind. Some of our questions that are asked on the Facebook thread in the group is, I'll just give them to you right quickly before I go through the monologue. One, who can change an individual's mind? And is society, responsible for caring for a person who is reintegrated, or integrated, I should say, after a conviction, a criminal conviction? Is society responsible for caring for a person who is reintegrated after a conviction? And lastly, what can a former felon do to improve him or herself? All right? So let's get to the monologue just briefly, and then we'll get right in. How to rehabilitate, a felon's mind. The scripture, John 1, verses 8 through 9, reads in this manner. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What that sounds like to me, that even if Dockery messes up, he goes astray, there is hope. Something can happen to change Dockery's circumstances. That's good news. Let's define what a felony is, okay? And then let's look at the concept of to rehabilitate, all right? And I'd like to just offer briefly some things, some ideas about how we can help an individual rehabilitate their mind, all right? And then we want to hear from a fellow by the name of Akon. And he really describes that Young Jeezy and Akon actually describes the mentality that is often seen in individuals who are locked up, pulled away from the free world, and as they begin to transition back into the normalcy of society, challenge that is there. All right? So with that being said, let me just define what a felony is. Okay? And the criminal justice system is defined as a crime, typically one involving violence, and regarded as being more serious than a misdemeanor, and usually punishable by imprisonment for more than 1 year. Okay, that's what felony is. Now, individual who has been charged, tried in a court of law, and convicted of a felony charge, sentenced time, pulled away from the normal society, or they call it the free world, and they're restricted in terms of where they can go, when they can go, how they can go, and are directed on a daily basis under strict guidance and rules in a penal institution. All right? So they essentially die from society for a period of time. They lose their freedom and their rights as a member of that community we talked about earlier, as well as the opportunity to vote and to have their voice heard. Don't dismay them, because the purported aim of the criminal justice system, the part of it called the prison system or the institution, is to rehabilitate them. Now, we know that many people have become what they call institutionalized. In other words, all they've learned how to do is to function within the prison system. When they come out, they're lost. Many of them reoffend because the only thing they become accustomed to as an adult is the structure and the discipline that were forced on them in the prison system, so they can't make it in the free world anymore. Let's talk about rehabilitation for a second. What does it mean to rehabilitate? To restore someone to their normal life, either by training, therapy, or after imprisonment, after they've faced an addiction of some sort, or some sort of illness. That's what we talk about when we talk about rehabilitation. Now, as related to the criminal justice system specifically, rehabilitation is the reintegration into society of a convicted person. And the main objective of modern penal policies, so they say, is to bring them back in with the rest of us. Okay? And so you have to ask the question, if that is the case, where are they going wrong? What is the problem? Why is it that more of them are not benefiting from that? Right? This is something that's supposed to happen while they're locked up and they're pulled away from the rest of the normal. So don't get me wrong, they're victims as well who are looking for justice because many of them lost their loved ones. Many of them are put in a situation where they won't be able to benefit from life and have a normal life anymore because of the incident that the individual has been tried and convicted of, often of a violent nature. Okay, so it's two sides to this story. But what I want to talk about tonight is if an individual has slipped up, gotten to a point where they've been extricated from norms of society, spent time behind bars, and have finished their time, fled their time, as it's called, or they were allowed out on paper, on probation, parole, under certain circumstances, is there room for rehabilitation? I submit to you that what we're really talking about is a change of mind. Because something calls them to engage in the behavior when they were a normal member of the community, calls them to offend the community by hurting or harming a member or other members. What was it in their mind at the time of action? Listen to these few things right here. Just something to consider. And we're going to open up the phone lines. We'll talk about it. I don't want to say that I'm right about it because I could be wrong. But I do believe that there's an opportunity for us to pan this thing out. And the truth of the matter is we know it happens, right? And we know good people, some of us in our families, present company included, have individuals who either are or have spent time in incarceration. Does that make them a bad person? All right, let's not digress too far. I believe that the first step to rehabilitation is to be put in a situation under the conditions where there is a change in thinking. You become chronologically grown as an adult. It's kind of hard to break you from certain habits, right? But let's face it. Most people that engage in criminal activities will tell you they did it because they felt it was absolutely necessary to survive. Sometimes they are out of their mind in a drunken state. And sometimes they find themselves at the wrong place at the wrong time under precarious circumstances. And they react in a way that they can never take back. But the most important thing is that when an individual has spent time and they know they have to come back to the environment in which they were pulled from, you got to ask yourself, what kind of mindset do I need to bring back to the street? Am I going back to my old ways? Or am I looking for how to change how I think, how I act, who I am? That's one thing. Okay? Now, I don't know that if anybody can do that but the individual. Others can help, but the primary responsibility is on the individual. Provide that individual an environment that is conducive to change, right? Change in their action and their routine. Now, it's interesting to me that oftentimes when people are setting up for parole or for early release, they try to find a family or somebody that guarantees they're going to look out for them, they're going to stay out of trouble, right? Well, the real truth is, if you were under a tough social environment, socioeconomic environment, that forced you into criminal behavior from the get-go, what makes you think when you come out, and those conditions have not changed, it's going to be any easier? So family and friends should work to provide an environment that supports and enables the individual to be away from the triggering influences. What do you mean by triggering, Dr.? I mean the things that motivated you or caused you or prompted you to the negative acts from the very beginning. Again, not to say you're a bad person, but these were bad things. Okay? Then offer the opportunity to have a total restart economically and politically. We've had my good friend Outkast, he talks about this all the time. If you don't decide that you're going to make a way for yourself, you're going to use some kind of means legal now to provide for yourself in this capitalistic society, guess what? You're going to drown. You got two choices. Either sink or swim. Now, who wants to sink? I don't want to see nobody swim. Sink. But the truth is, you've got to get your grit on. You've got to swim. Get out this water. All right? Ensure mental and physical stability. Got to get your mind right. We talked about rehabilitating a felon's mind. Just because they put that label felon on you don't mean you have to live up to it. You need some renewing of your mind. Is that right? All right, maintain healthy support base of friends and family. Those cats you used to run with that were pumping you up to get set up, hey, you ain't got time for them no more. We done with that. If y'all ain't about what I'm about and about the change I'm pushing, I'm moving for, hey, I ain't got time for you. I love you, but I got to drop you like a bad habit. That's simple. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Hey, if you mean me good, what you'll be doing is encouraging me and motivating me to make a change. Now, when you start talking all that other funny stuff and you're trying to encourage me to go down that rabbit hole again, I know you're not my friend. I wish I had a witness. I wish I had somebody that would say amen. You know, you can't be my friend if you set me up. Now, I'm almost done. Let's hear from Akon for a second and Young Jeezy. And listen to what these guys are saying. This song is kind of old, but in an odd way, it is the moniker or the mantra of the streets today, particularly with young guys who got pulled away and who were let back out. Now, interestingly enough, states like Tennessee are so crowded and trying to save money in their budget that they've let folk out earlier. All right? Check them out for a second.
Now that I'm locked up, I rep two sets, so I'ma ride and die and stay deep locked up. Two brushes up, whoever's running with me, when I walk by, and get up, cause I'm locked up, they can't get me out. I smoke a stick when they stress me out. Going at the bar when the rest be out, can't wait for the day when they let me out.
Visitation no longer comes by, it's like they forgot about me. Commissary is getting empty. Tell me if you can fool without me. Can't wait to get out and move forward with my life. Got a family that loves me and wants me to ride. But this is hard to do, won't let me out. Won't let me out. Won't let me out. Won't let me out.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us. And listen, here's where we are. We're talking again from the topic, how to rehabilitate a felon's mind. I believe I got some brothers on the air that can help us with this thing. I need some help right now. I know a lot of good little dudes. Excuse me for speaking street vernacular here. Is that all right, Outkast? If you please excuse my vernacular. Is that all right, Outkast?
Hey, what it is.
All right. Welcome back.
Surprise.
Hey,
Uh-huh. What do you say?
No, I'm kind of surprised you even brought this to the forefront. But, normally I'd be silent, but I break my silence on this subject.
Oh. All right. You know, I just had some conversation about this while I was away, but okay. Pastor Ricky Waller, how you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm all right, Pastor Doctor. How you doing?
Great. We appreciate you as always, and our listening audience. Thank you for filling in for us. Last week was very interesting, and I can hear the frustration and the anguish of the people. But there's hope. That's hope. What do y'all think about that monologue, man? In terms of, now I just offered some things I think would be helpful. Y'all talk to me, man. Where we at with this? Can we rehabilitate somebody who's been locked up and been in their life out there?
No.
What?
You know, prison system can't do that. See, this
wow.
is where they had that conspiracy. That prison system can't do that. It's left up to the individual when they go into any type of institution to better themselves. You know, incarceration does not do that. It's left up to the individual. You know, I mean, in prison, you know, they offer you one thing now when you go in if you want it, and that's a GED.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thanks to Bob Gordon, thanks to your Democratic nominee, Bob Gordon, he cut out prisoners going to college in prison. He led that charge.
Okay.
If you do the math concerning the institutions and things, nothing that you out of all the institutions that they had in the state of Tennessee, you probably didn't have a good 1,000 inmates that were going to prison, and he cut it out just because it was a police officer's son in the district that he lived in. His son couldn't go to college, which he could have been. Well, anyway, he led that charge. He stopped that. Rehabilitation, at the end of the day, it's left up to the individual. It's left up to the individual. And I'm going to go back to Lamont Alexander on that. He led the charge in the late 1970s. I was in the Chevy County penal farm during the period of time that he came out to the penal farm and did his little commercial, which they blocked a whole lot of that out, which I was in the hole during that period of time, and we cursed him out. And it's been on the landline that it's been on ever since. You know, when male or female go into any penal institution, it's left up to he or she to turn themselves around. You know, because no one else is going to do it. You know,
right.
Your rehabilitation and your counseling and things of that nature, that comes from within you. Now, let me hold for a minute.
Okay, I appreciate that. I appreciate you ripping. We got 3072 on the line with us. Hey, darling, how are you?
Hey, guys, how are y'all?
Pretty good. We're talking from the top. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just
We're
saying,
talking.
How you doing? Go
All
ahead.
Right.
Okay, all right. No, we're talking from the topic, how to rehabilitate a felon's mind. Now, I like what my friend was just saying.
Mm-hmm.
As bad as it is, and no matter how rough your life has been to get you to be tagged with that label, you have a responsibility to correct everything about your circumstance. And when I worked for the Department of Correction back in the 90s, I walked into Riverbend Maximum Security Institute, and they had a little historical library, and they had a book that was at the old walls that was built in 18-something. And this book said something to the fact, I'm trying to remember it correctly, the Tennessee prison will incarcerate individuals well into the foreseeable future. This was in 1830-something.
Wow.
Now, that kind of scared me. I said, wow, now here I am, I'm a guard, but that kind of scared me to see that. So that means they're building buildings, Pastor Waller, and they're looking for guests.
That's right.
Now,
yeah. Sure.
Question is, who they looking for? Hold up. Who y'all looking for? Go ahead, Pat.
People that did wrong and people that did no wrong, because they have people that are in prison that committed no crime.
That's
you know?
True.
This is what they're looking for, you know. Now, they use the prison system for a hell of a platform, you know, a little after slavery, coming up into the early 1900s especially. You know, they were
right.
grabbing people, young men off the streets because they wanted to go and work on Mr. Dudley's farm and things of that nature. This is part of what caused the fight, you know, to people going up north. From the South, you know.
Okay.
Prison
okay.
system,
okay.
It is a dirty game, but I know I got off a little bit off track, but when it comes to rehabilitation,
mm-hmm.
you have to rehabilitate yourself, you know.
Okay.
I mean, it's self-explanatory, you know. They send people to prison, especially nowadays, you know, they just warehouse you. You know, they offer you a GED. And that's about it. But if you don't want the GED, you don't have to take the GED. You don't have to go to school. A lot of people that's in prison, whether it be male or female, instead of them going to school, getting them a GED, they'd rather go to the hole. They want to work in the kitchen, you know.
Okay.
They want to go out
okay.
and chop grass off the side of the right-of-way, you know. Now, coming
right.
back
right.
to the Constitution, let's talk about the Constitution for a minute. How many amendments are there, Brother Robert?
Huh? Say that again.
How many amendments are there in the Constitution?
There are 26.
20 what?
26.
Okay. Out of those 20, well, it doesn't matter. We know it's in the 20s. But now, where does this state in the Constitution, if you are convicted of a felony, you don't have a right to vote. You don't have a right to bear a firearm. Where in the Constitution does it state that?
Okay,
no,
so
well.
that's a great question, a great point. It does not. However,
exactly.
if I might, the 10th Amendment of the Constitution does provide, and this is one of the reasons why we didn't have a Constitution for about 9 years after we declared independence. So there was argument about this, and these are in the Articles of Confederation and the Federalist Papers. The 10th Amendment provides that the state can determine what a crime is and can determine to what extent the 13th Amendment can be applied to take away certain rights that are afforded every citizen. That's the catch right there. So it's based on the state that you're in.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but the thing is this. It's always a catch 22.
Okay.
Thomas Jefferson and the rest of them, did they put that in the Constitution? You know, the founding fathers, did they put that in the Constitution?
No, they did. No, so they did.
Okay,
they did
all right. Okay, so see what I'm saying?
So can I say this?
What about the original Constitution?
I hear what you're saying. The Constitution is known not so much for what it says, and I don't purport to be an attorney or anything like that. I'm just a well-informed citizen, that's all. But historically, Charles Beer was one of those scholars, constitutional scholars, and he's written many books. And he rightly said is that it's known not so much for what it says, but what it doesn't say. And one of the reasons lawyers make so much money, is because they're able to dig deep into that thing, to the letter of that, and to find loopholes and clauses. Now, if you ain't got enough money to get you a lawyer like the O.J. Simpson Dream Team, you're in trouble.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Welcome to America. Welcome to America.
I agree 100%. But...
Let me bring Pastor Wallen in. Just for, finish your thought. Let me bring Pastor Wallen in for a second.
No. I can hold.
Pastor Wallen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you think that when they put the handcuffs on you, they take you downtown, they book you, they hold you over until your trial, and then you go to court, and they go through the court system, and supposedly by a jury of your peers, you are duly convicted. Do you think anybody ever tell you in that whole process, now when you go in there, you're going to have to take care of yourself and you're going to have to rehabilitate yourself. Right? Use every opportunity you can to get your mind right so when you come out, you'll be able to function. You think anybody say that to them? That's one.
I mean, somebody that you may know, you know, somebody that may be encouraging
to
you
as a family
member.
I'm talking about the criminal justice system.
Well, I don't think it's their assignment to do that if they're going to continue to lock things up. I mean, you sleep while I wake you up. And
okay.
I don't think they would wake you up intentionally, you know, if you're asleep and don't understand that this is a plan, a trap, and a purpose. You know, no one is going to build a building and have it empty on purpose, you understand? So we have to have somebody in mind. And if we don't know, you know, that we are the ones that they have in mind, you know, then we're missing it. So
when you say we, who are you talking about now? When you say we,
people
who are you talking
about? You know, people as a whole, they can't show no respect to the person, but if you know you're targeting a certain individual, and you know that, you know, they're not going to have a chance. I mean, that's one that you may say it's a lot of people that's innocent. I heard that was said. A lot of innocent people are getting locked up as well, not to mention ones who was doing the crime, you know, and in which the law was given but never obeyed. So, you know, you got a lot of things to work with and to deal with, and you don't have to be behind bars to be locked up, though. See, that's the thing. You know, a person doesn't have to be behind bars to be locked up. And then you come a rehabilitating oneself. I take it from experience, my partner, in whom done 29 years, 2 months and 29 days from a 2-life sentences that he had. And he told me, you know, from his experience, he said, I thought I was going to never get out of there. But they made a believe out of me. You know, this is what he said. You know what I mean? Now, why would he say that? He was convinced that what he'd done over 29 years ago by way of entering into the prison system with them handcuffing him, giving him a bed in there and a time to be released, quote, if he happened to make it. You know,
okay.
From that time until he got out, he was like, man, when he got out, he said, man, I didn't think I was going to never get out of there, man. He said, they convinced me, you know, and he said they convinced him. He never said, you know, that he convinced himself, but once he realized that he gave them all that time, and not to mention, he gave them that much time for something that he didn't do.
Okay.
You know? No. So that was it. And then I'm being locked up out here and wasn't even behind bars. You understand? But I needed to be rehabilitated there. If I didn't have the knowledge, the information, then how am I going to get it? And so that's what I had to remember. I had to seek it. And the same with him, he's doing well since he's been out. But man, it's amazing to know that they lock you up, take you in front of the system, pull out the paperwork, and then give you what they want to give you by way of a sentence, and you have to do it whether you like it or not. Whether you're guilty or not, if they give you a sentence and put it in motion, then, you know, this is something that is established. It's an order. And I don't know how long they've been doing, but I think they've been doing it for a while.
A long
you
time.
Know,
it's
different, man. You're guilty until you prove an innocent. Go ahead.
That's not what the law says, man. That ain't what
the law says.
The law says that there's a presumption of innocence until proven guilty. That's why we have criminal justice. That's why it's called justice.
Yeah, it should be fair to say that. But how can I be charged with something? You know what I mean? How can I be charged with something if I'm innocent? You understand what I'm saying? I'm proven guilty. But
that's what I'm saying. And I'm going to go to the 37-2 in just a second. I was trying to explain. We did that show earlier, and I tried to explain what the criminal justice meant and its purpose. And it was really intended to give those who are accused of a crime due process.
Hmm.
In other words, you have an opportunity to go through a process to face your accuser, Sixth Amendment, right, and to have a speedy trial, right, and not be forced to testify against yourself, Fifth Amendment. So due process is afforded to you. In fact, you can't even be pulled over, arrested without police having, what is it called, it slips my mind right now, a probable cause. That's the Fourth Amendment, right? So what I'm saying is that's what it's set up now. Now, we know that historically, Pastor, things have not always been right. I don't want to seem like I'm not aware of that. I don't want to give the impression that I don't know that. But and that's interesting because that's the conversation I was having with some young brothers. I was supposed to, the thing was over at 7 o'clock. I didn't get, and it was dark. I didn't get away from that until close to about 10 o'clock. But we had some really good conversation, man, with Chess on the Street.
Right.
And some of these things came up. Outcast, that's why we're having this conversation tonight. And we're going to have a very similar conversation.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, but when it comes to that Constitution, when I actually look at it, when I think about it, even in my reading,
it's
not moral, and it's basically unethical. Everything should go, go across the when it comes to humanity. I look at it and I say, well, it was just basically designed for a certain select group of people, especially states.
Wait up, man.
Come out. All right, now I'm going to go back to the death penalty. They kill you in the South, but they give you six, seven, 800 years of knowing. Where is it moral? Where is it ethical? Here in the South, when it comes to the death penalty, you know, they've been trying to demolish it for the longest. But now, okay, there's your North, there's your South again. Who's ethical and who's unethical? Who's moral and who's unmoral? It shouldn't be like that. The Constitution, it was written by its nature, and I hold that.
Okay, well, let me come back to that, but let me go to 3072. 3072, you were saying amen, Outcast, just for a second. You're weighing on that, but let me ask you this, 3072. If I'm not ready to do the time, 3072, should I do the crime?
Obviously not. Nope, you shouldn't. I mean, considering
You know it's hot out here on this block, and then you know what I'm saying, they got me in a jam, and I gotta survive.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So again, I ain't ready to do the time either, so I ain't doing the crime. I'm going out here and work a legitimate legal job because I ain't ready to do no time.
Okay.
So again, I think it's a self choice on how you're going to go and how you're going to flow. I do agree with Outcast about this, the Constitution being inhumane, so to speak, and not fair even, and it's set for certain people. Just look at today. I think Bill Cosby got sentenced, 3 to 10 years? My mouth hit the floor, not because, okay, he didn't do wrong, but how many other people? That is really what be like driving people. So I think maybe if the world or the laws were fair and evenly distributed, then maybe people would be more deterred to, you know what I'm saying? And they can kind of not have a reason to say, it's just them, you know, the white man, or, you know, they could see and learn to be what is it, ethical or whatever the word is. I mean, but yeah, when it's in, partiality and unfairness, then it gives them, to me, a certain kind of reason to, hey, buck the system, buck the law even.
Okay. So, all right, that's an interesting point. Now, one of the issues, Pastor, that came up was very similar to what 3072 is saying. And that is, we don't trust the Constitution and the legal system because it in their mind, this is their perception now. I'm not saying I necessarily agree with their position, but in their mind, the gentleman I was speaking to believed as though they're always on the negative end of the deal when it comes down to it. So I did ask the question, how did you get in a situation where you even had to face the criminal justice system, be charged with a crime?
Right.
And guess what I get, 3072. Guess the response. That's what the consensus was. Our hustle has been deemed illegal. These are my words. I'm paraphrasing what they were saying.
Oh, okay.
They were telling me that their hustle, their means of survival, their means of making it have been deemed illegal by whoever makes the law. And that's and their position, Pastor Waller, was that was the nature of the trap. I want y'all to help me with that because I told them, I'm going to be honest with you, I respectfully disagree with you, but when I disagree with you, I'm going to share with you how you can avoid that. But what do y'all think about that, that position that
Yes,
go ahead, 72. Sorry.
No, go ahead, okay.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
You were saying, what do I think about that? So that's a lot of people's stances that is out there, you know, called a self-hustling, so to speak. Now, what they have to realize is any hustle that's not under license or certification or whatever the rules are for you to sell and exchange goods is against the law. Any transaction like that, if you want to be specific. But, brother, you making it worse when it's illegal substances on top of you breaking the law by, you know, selling without permit to do so. But then you selling illegal substances. So that's like a double whammy. I mean, I would support you hustling a food truck. You know what I'm saying? Where you just cooking and, you know, whatever. But, yeah, when you're doing
Hey, you got to get a health department permit to do that. So if you ain't got that,
I agree,
come to
but my point is, then I could kind of sympathize and understand more of them being frustrated and them taking risk and chances. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I got you.
That honestly, that's a hustle. You really trying to just feed your family then. You're not hurting nobody.
Well, okay.
So, and I learned this. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to add a final comment. That's a shame. I had to learn that by getting a D in ethics class. It's okay when you're stealing. It's okay. I wrote that paper and I got an A, but that still didn't get me, you know. But, yeah, it's okay to steal when it's for a reasonable cause that is within reason and not being in an over excess toward
greed. Wow.
But go ahead.
Because 3072 and Outkast and Pastor Waller, a lot of people would say, I know my license has been suspended, but I got to go to work.
Mm-hmm. Catch the bus. Get your ride.
No, I got to go to work now. I know it. And then when they get blue lighted, they feel as though the world is coming down on them.
That's the truth. I would be that one that's crying and upset because I ain't getting on the bus. I'm sorry.
What?
As long as I'm paying my car note, I ain't getting on the bus. I don't do the bus.
Go ahead, Outkast. Come on, Outkast. Help out.
But, you know, it's one thing, you know, that in these last few weeks, almost a month, I realized that a lot of people don't like to hear the word manipulation. When they know they've done wrong, they will give you every excuse in order for you to go along with them and say they're right. It's part of manipulation. And I mean, it's totally wrong. Now, it's one thing that it was one of my college professors told me. He told me this. He told everybody this in class. He said, look, don't worry about a grade. It's what you learn. It's what you take out of this class. And he stressed that wholeheartedly. It's what you learn, even in your ethics. Hey, you learn something.
Okay.
That's the most important thing. You know, in today's society, what has today's society learned? Even the conversation that Reverend Docker have brought up concerning the penal institution and things of that nature, going back to the Constitution, things of that nature. You know, it's still the these white folks, they're still fighting against each other No, mm-hmm. y'all kill them in the South, but we gonna let them live in the North. This is why they came, like Brother Knocker said, and said, well, a state can set their own laws. Well, you see what the South right. got. You see what the North
yeah.
got. You know, right. where's the morals? Where's the ethics? They're standing up on the Constitution. So, therefore, if you – now, listen to this. I've been saying this all the time. When it comes to these gun laws and things of that nature, anything basically that goes on in this society to hit the convict first, you know, and then they come out. And then they hit your private citizens. Now, you got a lot of men that have served in the military. A lot of them got mental conditions and things of that nature. Guess what?
Yeah.
They went out, bled for this country, lost limbs, and they got mental issues. They can't even own a gun. All
well,
of them
they don't need to own one.
Okay,
well, you don't need to own a gun. You got mental
well, wait
issues.
Now.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Good, no. I just want to, you know, so if you're a felon, though, you're not supposed to have be within 100 feet of a gun, right? I mean, is that wrong? I mean, even though
yes,
you serve the country. Well, you serve the country.
It should be based on their crime to me, honestly.
No,
now,
well,
if they're a felon, I know, I'm just saying. I'm just.
Okay.
Yeah, my opinion, honestly,
yes,
because look at it. Felons cannot vote, can they?
Right. No.
Felons cannot apply for government student loans, can they?
No.
Yes.
Felons, right. So what about...
Yes, they can get student loans.
Oh,
they can get
really?
Student loans to go to college.
Oh, that's
explain to us what you mean by it. Explain it to us, Outcast.
Okay,
because
the thing is this right here. Even though you have been to prison, the only thing that will stop you from getting a PAYA grant is if you have been convicted of a dope crime, you know, selling drugs
okay.
and things and that.
That's
or
most
you know, of
okay.
But, you know,
or murder.
I'm sorry.
Or murder.
So let me go
no.
on. That was the point I was trying to make, Outcast. So with that, and I'm going to hurry up and not take up the whole floor. But that was the point I was trying to make. So how fair is that? Okay, they served their time, and honestly,
mm-hmm.
maybe they've learned their lesson, and they're not
okay.
trying to go back there. But,
right,
I can't get money to help me go to school. I can't get this to do that. What am I to do? What is, you know, and I'm not condoning, you know, them
you're
to
right,
repeat a life
right.
of crime.
Okay.
But,
right, okay.
so we need to revisit some things. And even
right.
with the military people that haven't committed crimes, if you come out and you're damaged mentally, I'm sorry. You don't need a gun to kill your whole family because you had post-traumatic stress. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I wouldn't stay in that house
okay.
with him. I wouldn't stay there
okay.
with him.
All right.
Okay, but,
all right.
At the end of the day, convicted felons, they can get student loans and also they can get PAYA grants. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, when it comes to voting, I mean, that's fine. You know, I mean, if I want to build me a platform, start me a platform, I can start me a platform, and I don't have to vote. I can talk to people and get them to go with an individual that I feel that's best suited to do the job and that will stand up and be most ethical and have decent morals. This is
and
what I will do. Yeah.
So maybe that's good information to put out there as well, because I never knew that. I was always told that they lost all
no.
of their rights.
That
would
no.
be great for them to know.
Okay, they lost the cottage right being in prison, you know, thanks to,
mm-hmm.
again, a so-called blue dog Democrat named Bart Gordon. He's the one that stopped, you know, prisoners from going to college in the state of Tennessee, which is stated out of all the not bad that each semester you didn't have a good 300 or 400 people even attending college, but one of his police officers that lived in his district got angry because his son was 18 years old and he wanted his son to get this and get that and they didn't want to pay for nothing and that's what caused all of that. And that's just bottom line on that. Now, Prill Noble Crowden, you need to go back to Lamont Alexander. He shouldn't even be up in Washington, D.C. He should have been alone, sit down somewhere. No, let me be quiet.
All right. We got another caller joining us here. 0390, welcome to Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic, how to rehabilitate a felon's mind. We have a very lively conversation. Pastor Wallace still there. Pastor, I'm not overlooking you. Just jump on in there when you need to. Caller, welcome to the conversation. Go ahead, caller. 0990.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Once again, Brother Rich, thanks for everybody, inviting me into the call. Once again, great things always said. And as far as how to rehabilitate the mind of someone that has came out of jail, information is very, very important. I feel like we all have to stick together. That's something very, very important. So I feel like some kind of community, not to say that it's not one that is put together for felons, so when they come back out, they don't have to be put back into that same system. But encouragement to these men are very, very, as well as ladies, it's very, very important for both sides to have something, a nonprofit organization, to be built in every city for ladies as well as men. So when they hit them streets, they don't have to worry about, where am I going to get a job? You know, job replacement, none of that. They don't have to worry about that because it's already people in place that will take care of that. But it's not a lot of programs like that are built. And I guess my thing would be is, why isn't it programs like that can help felons to help rehabilitate the mentalities of those that have been convicted as well as wrongly convicted?
Let me say this. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead,
Alcat.
Go ahead. You were probably going to say the same thing I was, and that is that I know of a few national organizations and there are some local organizations that are positioned to do just what you're talking about, Brother Richard, and that is to be a transitionary base for individuals coming out of incarceration. And they do provide, vouchers and services and support services and counseling and things of that nature. I just wanted to say that in all fairness. There are groups. Perhaps it could be better, and maybe we can improve on it. Don't Follow Me, for instance, is one of the groups here locally. Go ahead, Outcast. What were you going to say?
Okay. My rebuttal is this. If you have a male or female been incarcerated for 5 years, 3 years, 4 years, and have an opportunity to go to school and get a GED, and at 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, they did not pursue that, had no intentions of pursuing that. They set up, they play cards, they play dominoes, they talk about pimping, prostitution, in the whole nine yards. How can you help these people? See, people that haven't been in the institution, they can easily set up and say, well, this and that and this and that and this and that. Try to help the ones that try to help themselves when they were in there. But basically, a lot of individuals like myself, we didn't need help when we came out here because all that time that we stayed incarcerated, we already were building a foundation. You have a lot of individuals, male and female, that has been incarcerated. Now what you're talking about programs, a lot of them have started programs like that. A lot of them have their own businesses and things in that nature. A lot of them, when they got out, they didn't go and ask a free hand or somebody to help them. They went on to college and started their own businesses and things in this nature. We got to get up off that trip. How can you help someone that has been in that institution for a long period of time and have not tried to do anything for themselves? Now, you have men of valor. They're good. Let me hold. Now, let's come to the realization of this.
Sure. That's a good point. Pastor Waller, you've been kind of silent. Anything you want to weigh in on there? Right through here?
Yeah, Yeah, I'm listening to what's being said. I'm thinking that, you know, when you started out, you was talking about what the scripture said, you know, and I like that because made known of what it says in 1 John 1:8-9. You know, you said if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
Right.
And the truth is not in us. I mean, you said that's what the scripture says. And that's the thing, but I see the first thing it says is if we say. And then in verse 9 it said, if we confess, we're still talking about that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now the system is not thinking about this. The system said nothing about this because what that does, it takes the judge from having a job. Because you don't put it out there and we got rehabilitation that we're going to present to you, but we're not going to believe you're going to get through it. So every now and then somebody gets through, took my hat off to all of those that will. But the percentage on a person being able to get free from the intoxication lifestyle which they put on your brain, it's called a trap. And if the trap is not a trap, then it wouldn't even say it in the book here. You know, it even said, keep me from the snares which they have laid for me.
Okay.
You know, but keep me from the snares which is the trap that they have laid for me and the genius of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own net. You know, when I get a chance to escape. So that means that if they open a place and lock people up and they get paid for it, why would they want people free? There's no way they're going to want people free. It's ludicrous to build up a building real, real quick and in an urgency way because they've got so many people that they can lock up. They got them locked up on the outside of the penitentiary. Why they're supposed to be home free. And they know people don't know how to stay free because we don't have the knowledge and the wisdom. And when you're talking in your mind and the hustle on your mind and the hustle overtaking you, then you're going to try to school them well enough to say, look, you're willing to school you if you're willing to learn. That won't happen too quick. You see what I'm saying? And so I've learned to understand the power of the trap because it's laid for you. When someone lays one for you, you may not see it, you may not know it. But this trap is easy for you. You get free if you get free as you can, but it's not my plan to get you free. I'm going to present it to you as if I'm concerned about you getting free. But believe me, brother, there's no way that the penitentiaries are going to be able to be successful unless they lock and keep it up. That's just the destination. Why would they build new jail houses? And if they don't fear those jail houses, you understand, they have to present some kind of rehabilitation to you to make you think that we really care. We want you safe. But okay, we're not going to make no money. I'm going to say this, I'm going to turn it back over. How I got free, I was so insane out here going to court one day with my lawyer. My lawyer, he's been my lawyer for all them years. He's seen the wear, the tear. He's seen the pounding that I took. And one day he went in there and he kept me free from going to the penitentiary. He's taking a drug test once a month, and I couldn't even pass it. So he went back in there and he fought him some more, and he came back out of recess. He came to me. He said, Richard, he said, why don't you go get some help for yourself? That man got tired and he didn't even want no more my money. You know what I mean? He said, like he was trying to help me because he said I couldn't help myself. And that was encouraging to me. So, okay. He said, well, you got to take 28 days for 4 years in prison. I said, look, Mr. Quinn, I said, I don't want to do neither one of them. I'm going to do it this time. And this man has to get himself rid of it. He said, look, he said, you got to take one or the other. Because he know I was in my cell. We are talking, man. So he said, you got to do one or the other. And guess what I did for 28 days. And I've been free ever since from the drug. But look what I had to go through, man. Look what I had to go through. This man was, he's the one that took the pay for me. You know, you can go get some help for yourself. And all I can hear that in my head when I got in that treatment center, that man tell nothing. He forgot all about his money. They said about money no more. Really wants to get some help for yourself. And I thank God for him. Sometimes we just need that boost, man, by somebody that knows that care. And I don't know if the sister care that well or not, but my lawyer said this. I got to tell this. No, guess what he said. He said, you just cost me a lot of money. Because he knew I was going to get another drug to you. He knew I was going to get another drug to you once I got to you.
God Almighty. So yeah, man, it's 10:22, like Kenneth said earlier.
Let me say this, Pastor. I hear what you're saying. I'm like that last statement. You just cost me a lot of money. I share with the gentleman that I was talking to the fact that if you really believe that things are not fair and unequitable, then you can stop making yourself available to the trap. We know it exists.
Yes.
You know the nature of it, right? So what can you do to change who you are and how you get down so you don't get caught in that trap?
That's a good question. If you don't know, you're not going to be able to do it if you don't know. Because you already
Pastor, that's what I was there for, to tell them. That's what I was there for,
right,
to tell them. Now, some of them were becoming defensive and defending their earlier positions, right? That the boogeyman is after me, and therefore I'm justified in carrying me a pistol so when he show up, I can shoot him. Right? But the truth of the matter is, let me tell you something about the boogeyman, Brother Richardson. He's, in order for him to be a man, he got to be part man, right? And the Bible said man that's born of woman is full of trouble and only have a few days. So he's going to die at some point, right? So he 50-50, right? And the rest of them is just boogers. Take you some water, spray them down real good. When the boogers off of them, it's a 50-50 chance. You understand what I'm saying? So what you scared of the booger man for? All I'm saying is if we, and these young brothers and the rest of us, yes, we know that there historically have been inequities. Yes, we do. We know that during Jim Crow era, they used the criminal justice system as a tool to oppress people of Afro descent.
Oh, yeah.
We know that. We know that. That's a part of American's history. Okay, but we're in 2018 now. What are we prepared to do with the freedom and opportunity that lies before us today? That's the real question. We can't change what happened yesterday. It's going to happen now. It's going to happen. But what can we do today? Even if you got caught up in the system, in the trap, and you somehow made it out, you're on the street now. And I like what Brother Richards is saying. There does need to be a community with the right thinking to encourage you to do the right thing, to be an entrepreneur, Brother Richardson, and
yes,
to be forward thinking. What do you say about that, Brother Richardson?
Well, here it goes. Now here's my time for, you know, when I told you last week, when God gives me a sign to say certain things, it's time for me to let loose. And a lot of times when I say things, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of times I don't want to say it, but it's to be said, okay?
Right.
You know,
okay,
we say, you know, hey, we want to get our churches involved.
Uh-oh.
Okay? Okay.
Now,
this is very important that we listen, because I know we have Pastor Wallace on the phone, and I respect you to the fullest, Pastor. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you may be that one out of a million that may say, hey, come into my church, give me $100 every Sunday, and I will bless you. To cut to the chase, why does a pastor have to bless a group of people that have already been blessed? That's why we're having our problems. Quit charging our people for something that God has already given us. That's one. For two, okay, it needs to be taught in the church, okay, and in order to keep our young men out of jail, as well as our young ladies from thinking that they're whores, et cetera, and the drugs out of our neighborhoods, is an economical structure that the church should be teaching. That's two. For three.
Okay.
Here's the third one, and I won't charge anybody for this, because guess what? God didn't charge me, so why should I charge anyone on this phone? Here it is right here.
Okay.
All right? most of the older ones, just like the Old Testament, and you have the New Testament. Now, we've ran across a lot of the older people in church. A young person can't teach me nothing. Well, here it is. You might want to start waking up, because the older you're not teaching the younger anything. Okay, and I'm not saying you can't learn from the older generation, but the older generation might want to wake up and say, you know what, these young folks, they might have something to say. When I say young people, my generation, I'm 45. You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of mothers, aunts, and uncles, they didn't see entrepreneur during the time when Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and JFK were living. But now is the time that we wake up, because if we don't wake up, we're in trouble. It's just all it is to it.
I think you made some great points there, brother. I think you made. Let me, we have a caller joining us, 347-4688. Welcome to Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic, how to rehabilitate felons, a felon's mind. And just one second, caller. The number to call if you want to join us here live in the studio, 657-383-0944. You're watching on Facebook live stream. You can simply post your question and comments via Facebook. All right, 4688, welcome to the conversation. Question and comment?
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm just coming in and say that again about what the topic was.
We're talking about how to rehabilitate a felon's mind, someone who's been convicted of a crime, tried, sentenced, and did time. Now they're back in the free world.
Okay, well, first you have to teach him how to reinvent himself. Give him an option on the things that he wanted to do with his life before he got locked up, other than the crime.
Okay.
And
Great point.
I mean, you know, a felon, I mean, that's one thing, but working at a job for 40 years is another. Is the same, well, not the same, but, I mean, you have your mind set. You know, your mind is set already, you know, with this type of life, you know, and that's when it comes in to reinvent yourself.
Okay. All right. You know what? You said something that, you said something, caller, that struck some in me. Yeah. Let me go to Outcast, and then I'll come back to you. Thank you for sharing that with us here on Talk Straight. Go ahead, Outcast. What were you going to say?
Again, I truthfully state this. The only someone that can do something with the mind is he or she themselves if they're incarcerated. You can bring all the programs. Well, they have all the programs. Look, they have all types of programs in prison. You know, section classes, violence classes, and things of that nature. They go in, they sit, they get their points, they walk out. But guess what? If they have not made up their own mind, nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. I'm a living example of that. You know.
Okay.
It was on me. It was on me to come out and do what was right or do what was wrong. I didn't come out here asking a helping hand and nothing because I knew the way. I didn't come out of here without a plan. Again, in that prison system, Reverend Docker, you worked in that prison system. The majority of the time that you worked in that institution, how many young guys did you see with a book in their hand? How many of them were willing to go to school and try to put knowledge in their head? It was few and far in between. See, is what people that haven't been into the institution do not understand. Everyone don't want to be rehabilitated. And the ones that follow the instructions of being rehabilitated, they get out here and they do well. Even no job, making hefty money. Now, they can be, again, you have churches coming into the institutions. Men of Valor is one of them, like you were trying to tell Reverend Richardson, you know. with all due respect. This is what you have to look at. Everyone don't want to be rehabilitated. Everyone don't want that. You can holler community all you want to. All those years I stayed in prison, I didn't come out for a community to do anything for me because I had ample time to prepare myself just as well as a lot of other men and women, and they're doing well. And they have programs, female. One of them is called Hugs, and she got her a doctorate degree while she was in the penitentiary. Now, how many females got a doctorate degree in the penitentiary? I mean, shut up. It's left
right.
up to he or she to do that. I mean, let me shut up.
Nathan McCall is with
I'm going to be quiet. I'm quiet.
Go ahead, 3072. Go ahead, 3072.
I was just going to add that he's right. It does call for the individual. But if the individual don't even know how to formulate their vision or their idea, sure. So they feel like, I mean, they don't know nothing. I've trained a lady just this week to come to work at my job. She seemed like she was, like, just not getting it. So I thought, okay, I want you to watch me, and I want you to ask questions. She did that. Today I put her on her own, and I followed her. That lady did everything better, something better than me. So sometimes you have to, as Pastor Waller say, stir up the gift. Help them pull out what they don't know clearly for themselves.
Sure.
Help them
sure.
to see,
oh.
even.
Exactly. So now I'm seeing a balance here, guys, between thoughts. What 4688 said was that, and correct me if I misunderstood you, but what I got from it was that they have to. Some kind of way their mind has to be transformed. And
right.
it helps when they come out and there is a support base. Now, Outcast, I feel you. You know, the truth of the matter is you didn't get there for nothing. So you did something.
Right.
And if you go back to the same triggers without the opportunity to really change. I mean, you know, the bottom line is that they're selling dope when you got locked up and you come back out and they're selling dope, you got to stay away from the dope.
Yeah.
Right?
But they don't want to stay away from the dope. They don't want to stay away from the robbing. They don't want to stay away from the stealing. You know what I'm saying?
That's
fast
where
money,
the problem
easy comes. Money.
That's where the problem
you know
comes in. That's where the problem comes in.
You know, they don't want to change.
Yeah.
That's where the problem comes in. See,
okay, so,
but now,
so let me... So sorry, sister. You can go. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Brother Richard.
Okay. So, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. In the Bible, it talks about how God talks about separating the wheat from the tares. Okay, and they grow up together. Right?
Uh-huh.
If the wheat and the tares
uh-huh.
grow up together and they look alike, okay?
Uh-oh.
I say this all the time with the wheat and the tares. It's no different from separating the blacks from the niggas, literally.
What?
Literally.
Wait a minute,
okay? Literally.
You got black me, don't think like me.
Bro, Rich, you got to make sure you come back Thursday night, dude, because you just – hold on, man. Hold on. What you say now? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Here I go. I'm going to say it, and I'm not going to charge y'all. In the Bible, it talks about the wheat and the tares, how it grows
okay.
up
right.
together. We have to be able to separate it, right?
I see.
Okay. Y'all
so what are you going to do? Just forget
right.
about the wheat? Yeah.
Okay, and here I go again, and I'll actually give you an example, okay? Now, us separating the blacks from the niggas have to be very important mentally, okay? It's a mental thing, because here it is. When I say in the Bible, it says the wheat and the tares, they grow up together, okay? Now, just because you're black and you got on a suit and a tie, that still
uh-huh.
doesn't mean that you don't have that nigga coon mentality. Okay?
Okay.
So we have to be careful with who we not only talk to, but share our information, because you know just as well as I know, Pastor, not everybody's for you. You
That's
know that.
True. Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know that. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So we have to separate, because even in Nashville, just 3 weeks ago on this show, a young lady had stated that she wasn't too fond of Nashville because she was at the Greyhound bus station. Well, we can go any even further.
52.
On Jefferson Street used to be the place for black folks.
Yeah.
Okay. Now what has happened in Nashville, Tennessee, on Jefferson Street, what has happened is it's called Conery. You have some black business owners on Jefferson that have their Conery degrees. You have even some churches, and I'm not doing names, but they know who they are, on Jefferson Street, who have secret meetings. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not about trying to help felons. It sure enough ain't about helping felons. Guess what those secret meetings are about? Even the NAACP is having problems. You know what? Because it's not the NAACP anymore. Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me say this. I follow your line of thought, and I see where you're coming from. You are putting some things that does need some qualification. So I want to give you an opportunity to I want to give you an opportunity to qualify your assertions for us. But I don't want to loosely put things out that may irresponsibly offend one without qualifying what you mean and what you're saying. I think I understand where you're coming from, and I think there's a historical context to much of what you're saying. But again, because that wasn't our topic tonight, I want to, if you don't mind, I don't want to cut you off. I don't want you to take it the wrong way.
Let me
create the right environment for this to be an educational dialogue conversation where everybody can be. And that by saying that, I mean give you a chance to qualify. We got about 12 minutes, and so we don't have time to do it tonight. This is Talk Straight, and I appreciate you talking straight to me tonight.
And I guess just finishing up, you know, like you said, and sometimes we can get caught up in conversation and wing away, but it's like you said, it's all about how to rehabilitate the mind of someone that has been in prison. And I've heard, Pastor, it's kind of hard. It's hard when you're used to doing this, that, those, and the others in the streets, and then you get consumed right back into the same thing. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that lastly, just saying right quick, I don't think that we want to take responsibility for what we've really done. So when we come back out, we want people to still feel sorry. People, we need to quit feeling sorry for each other and pick up the pieces and keep walking.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
All right. I want you to be sure, I want you to be sure to join me Thursday night, because you're kind of hitting on the topic that we have scheduled for Thursday night a little bit. Let me go to 4688. You've heard our discussion, 4688. What say you? In a couple of minutes, we got about 10 minutes. We're going to soon kind of bring our conversation to a closing. Go ahead, 4688.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, like I said, you know, in prison, I've never been there, but I assume that you know you read and get your mind right, and when you come out, you know, you have to reinvent yourself. That's all I can really say on the matter, is that you know, reinvent yourself and, you know, just get around people that not your homeboys that's doing what they're doing.
Get around a
different type of person, you know, that's willing to take a chance with you and keep trying, you know, like if this person's not going to do right, then find the next person, you know, but keep trying, you know, and that's the only way to make it in this world.
You know,
well,
what
I was going to say.
Oh,
Hold on 1 second, 37. I'm coming right back to you. You said something key. An author by the name of Nathan Hare, he writes for the Washington Times, I believe it is. He did exactly what you're talking about. He got him a degree in journalism while locked up, and when he came out, he got him a job with the Washington Times, and he wrote a book, Make Me Want to Holler. He described his experience, so great point. Go ahead, 37, too. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, he was saying about surrounding yourself around a different environment or a different set of people that would be accepting to you. Anybody would accept anybody that they can honestly see is trying to do something different. But it's like Outkast was saying, when you don't want to change, you just want to find another slick or trickery way to do what you've been doing, then that's something kind of different. Like, yeah, and I wouldn't support you either. I mean, because obviously you haven't learned from why you got locked up before.
Wow. Okay.
And I agree 100%. You know, like this foundation is built in prison. You can hang around good people, the decent people. You can hang around the rug rats with the pimping and dope setters trying to figure out how to rob a bank and things of that nature. A lot of criminals go to prison and they become master criminals. They become good criminals because those were the right people that they chose to hang around. But when you're hanging around knowledgeable people, you're going to gain that knowledge and you're going to bring this knowledge back into the streets. I'm going to take Malcolm X for example. He was transformed in prison because he got around good people. See, you don't have to come back out here in this community. It starts when you're incarcerated. Let me shut up. You got about six.
No. Wait a minute.
Quiet.
Okay. All right.
All of the guys that came in contact with me, I see it over and over and over. All the guys that came in contact with me when I was incarcerated, they got GEDs. Mm-hmm. Some of them started going to college and prison, and they came out going to college and things of that nature, and a lot of them are doing well. They are doing good. They didn't have to come back out here into the community because the community was a part of them, putting them in there to get rehabilitated with the crime. They can get me shut up.
Exactly.
What?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I was trying to, you will, go back to what you was talking about the scripture. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To be cleansed from something, and then you come back into the environment that you were before you went to prison or was on whatever you were doing. When you have had the cleansing, it don't matter what they're doing. You're not going to do it. It's the cleansing showing up that you've been cleansed. That's why he says, you can know the truth and the truth shall be free. And once you are free, no matter what somebody else is doing, you know what I mean? Because I wasn't able to see me from the ones who was doing what I used to do. I had to come back out in the mix of everything that was going on just to make known of, you know, not being ashamed of the cleansing. And the cleansing takes place. It's no, he forgave me before he cleansed me up, before the cleansing came. And then once the cleansing came, it wasn't no need me trying to run, duck, and dodge from the cleansing because, you know, look, whatever they're doing it. That's not going to make you do it if you really have a cleansing going on, you know. And that's the thing about it. We shouldn't be afraid, you know, to go back in this environment right there. And if you go over there, you're going to start back doing this. Well, that's not when you have the cleansing. It's not going to happen unless you didn't have the real cleansing. You see what I'm saying? And so it's amazing that it's like that. And some people are afraid to go back around certain places. Some people can't do it because they feel like they can't do it. But I'm just glad that I didn't serve a weak God. A God that gave me the right instructions. So, you know,
isn't that important, though, Pastor Waller? Isn't that important to know even where you are? Like, I'm not that strong, so I'm just not going to go around the brothel or the whorehouse because I'm going to be subject to go in there. And so you got to know, I mean, right.
Yeah, you got to do a cleansing. You'll never know until you step out. You know, other than that, you'll be afraid to even experience whether you have it or not because this is something that you get everywhere you go because you have actually received the cleansing. Only if you haven't received it. And I'm not saying to everybody to do that. But I was just so bold that he didn't run from the cleansing. I accepted it and went back into the same community where I was
all the corruption was, and be a great example. I mean, it's needed. And I just want to share that.
I hate to cut you guys off. We got 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Man, it's getting good. It's getting gooder and gooder and gooder. Let me go with our new caller. Final thought. Give me about 30 seconds, new caller. 4688. Thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate everything you had to offer. Final thought, right quickly.
Give it to him.
Living this kind of life gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by.
Watch out, Sam.
Living this kind of life, everything new and the old has passed away.
All right.
Happy days are here right now. I got a new direction, and I'm happy. Oh, yes, I am. And from now on to my dying day, I'll be living for Christ.
All right, man. All right. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you. Come on, 0390. Give me 30 seconds, man. Give me 30 seconds.
Right. I always tell everybody I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. Definitely,
right.
I'm not taking it back. And most of all, you know, being locked up in the mind, coming out and still being locked up in the mind, that's one.
Okay.
But for how about the guys that hadn't went a day in jail and are definitely still out on these streets, still locked up in the mind?
Wow.
I love y'all, and hey, let's make it happen on the next conversation, y'all.
Yeah, Mick, I got you, man. You all in my next conversation already, brother. Appreciate you. That's a good point.
Thank
That's
you,
a good
brother.
Point. Thank you, man. Thank you. Okay, 372, what you got?
Well, I'm just gonna piggyback off of what he said, since you were talking about the Constitution and all, so then you just have to emancipate yourself, your mind first.
Okay.
Set yourself free.
All right. With that, we go right to 1098. Come on, 1098. What you got? You've been
silent
tonight.
Okay, when it comes to that Constitution, they still fighting the Civil War in our hole. The North against the South.
Watch out, man. Watch out. Okay, man, look at the time. I sure hear we have to go. Y'all come back Thursday night, man. I got something for y'all. All right, Pastor Waller, wrap us up, man, so we can get out of here, and then we'll be back this Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m.
Yeah, man, we praise God for everybody who had a chance to speak and to hear as well. And I like what 3072 said about, you know, making sure that the cleansing is there, because other than that, it's not the enemy does not care about you coming out there saying that you clean, because he will gobble you up if you have stepping, and that's the truth. And I love
right.
that, because that's what you need to be mindful of. Make sure you don't pretend to be something that you're not, because they will gobble you up out there. And that's just the beauty of it. So if you want to believe in what the Word of God says, and some people don't even know what the Word of God says, but I will say this. I'm so glad to introduce to those who really want to believe that Luke chapter 1, verse 37 states very clear. It says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So once you get free, you're free indeed if you believe that. Glory to God.
Okay. All right, man. All right. Yes, sir. Man, listen, this is Talk Straight. We'll be back Thursday night. We'll pick right back up where we left off with this conversation. Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Y'all be sure to join us here. Thank you, Pastor Ricky Waller, and all of our callers, our new caller. Be sure to come back with us at 7 o'clock. We'll be back with another very powerful conversation. And this is your host, Reverend Dr. Ruben Dockery. Grateful that you joined us. We will see you then.